From our newsroom in London, this is The Standard. This edition is a preview of the latest episode of Brave New World, a podcast where Evgeny Lebedev speaks to leading experts about the latest trends in modern medicine and how to maximise health and longevity. To hear the whole interview and listen to previous episodes, search Brave New World Evening Standard on your podcast provider.
For those who aren't familiar, biohacking is the practice of employing methods drawn from fields like biology, genetics, neuroscience, and nutrition to enhance physical or mental performance, improve overall health and well-being, or achieve a specific health outcome, for example, weight loss. A common example is the use of wearable technology, such as an Apple Watch or an Oura Ring, to monitor your circadian rhythms and optimize sleep.
There's an event here that they're starting to have every year called the Health Optimization Summit. So it's just this big expo floor of all the latest and greatest gadgets and tools and biohacks and then a bunch of speakers.
This is Ben Greenfield. He has been dubbed arguably the world's fittest, most healthy man, and is certainly the most influential biohacker on the planet.
So I came in to give the keynote there,
right,
and get a chance to mess around and experiment with a whole bunch of cool things.
Ben is a maverick figure who's ingested tapeworms to optimize gut health, given himself electric shocks to build muscle, and injected stem cells into his penis. Well, you'll have to ask him about that. It's all in the name of research for Greenfield. With a career spanning over a decade, he has dedicated himself to pushing the boundaries of what's possible in human health and well-being. In this episode, I had the pleasure of meeting Ben to explore the cutting-edge biohacks and holistic health strategies that have made them an icon in this field.
So Ben, the biohacking world's Wild West, there's so much out there, new stuff like the conference you were at last weekend, and everyone's trying to sell you their product. So if you're not integrated into this subject, into this world, you don't really know your stuff, can you just narrow it down for our listeners to the 3, 5, 10 most important, most valuable machines to use and be familiar with?
Absolutely. It's generally, I think, pretty well known, especially if you open the average fitness or health or nutrition magazine or watch some TV show about health, that we're supposed to have some amount of movement in our lifestyle. We're supposed to eat healthy, mm-hmm. right? Eat good, whole, clean, organic food as close to the earth as possible. Don't eat a lot of sugar and vegetable oil, and exercise if you can, right? Most people know that. I'd insult your intelligence by telling you that part. What gets left out, what gets ignored, or what more people should know about is back to the concept I was talking about a little earlier of your body being a battery.
Right.
Each of your cells operates on a very precise electrochemical gradient for every single cell. A slightly negative charge on the mm-hmm. inside of the cell, a slightly positive charge on the outside of the cell. That is how cells make energy.
Right.
ATP, the body's mm-hmm. energy currency, is dependent upon the battery of the body working properly. Now, there are certain things that can drain that battery or cause a more positive charge mm-hmm. to be on the inside of the cell rather than a negative charge. A perfect example would be, frequent airplane travel, frequent exposure to what's called non-native electricity, just a soup of Bluetooth and Wi-Fi routers and smart appliances and smart homes, in electric cars that are bombarding you with electricity, eating foods, especially many foods that are grown these days in soil that's not rich in minerals. So the food that you eat that's grown in that soil is void of electrolytes and salts that the body uses to carry a charge. So what do you do about that? You said 3, 5, or 10, so I'll go with 6. First, we've already mentioned two of them. Getting in touch with the surface of the planet, or using some type of technology that simulates the surface of the mm-hmm. planet on a regular basis. This is called earthing, grounding, or electromagnetic field technology. That charges the body's battery with the natural elements that the earth would normally emit, that our ancestors would have been exposed to on a frequent basis.
So just sorry to interrupt. Yeah. So these devices, you say that I know our listeners would be very inquisitive about these things.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they would ask is, if there's not much research done on this, apart from your own instinct and the price that you've paid for giving a placebo.
Exactly. Don't get me wrong. There's not a lot of research on the newfangled devices that you'll see popping up at some type of expo, all these brand new hot off the presses type of devices. What I'm about to explain to you does have robust amounts of human clinical research behind it. So it kind of depends what we're talking about here, and you got to take everything with a grain of salt. Earthing and grounding, for example, hundreds of PubMed studies on all the benefits of earthing and grounding and being in touch with the surface of the planet or using mats or other tools or technologies to simulate that type of effect. The most popular in the biohacking industry being called PEMF, or pulsed electromagnetic field technology. That charges up the body's battery. That would be one.
So what does it do to you? How do you feel? You said
the way that you would feel is literally when those frequencies are wah, 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 coming up through your back or your feet or your hands, is the cell membranes are opening and closing and allowing for proper movement of electrolytes in and out of the cells, thus charging up the battery. You experience relaxation, sleep, an improvement in energy, a decrease in inflammation is probably the largest component of earthing and grounding. People who are inflamed get a decrease in inflammation that they'd normally have to go take ibuprofen or eat a bunch of ginger and turmeric and herbs and spices to achieve. But you can do that via methods other than supplementation and foods, which is what everybody likes to talk about, right? There are other ways of natural living that can achieve that. The second would be something I already also mentioned, photons of light. Your body has the ability to absorb photons of light, particularly from a certain nanometer wavelength of light, 600 to about 850 nanometers of light, which is the red and infrared light spectrum. That actually is absorbed by the cells and upregulates the cell's ability to create ATP.
Right.
So when we look at red light panels, infrared light, sunlight, infrared saunas, any of these type of devices, all the way down to research now being done with impressive results on Alzheimer's and dementia and stabilization of neural tissue occurring with the presence of this light going through the ear or the top of the head or into the nose, shows that our bodies are designed to be sun eaters, right? To be exposed to these photons of light. So that'd be number two.
And well, how would you differentiate between infrared sauna, red light panels, red light beds? There's quite a few different variations.
Yeah, there are. An infrared sauna, that's primarily using infrared, invisible light spectrum that would be on a different wavelength than, say, visible red light. Many sauna companies will put red lights in an infrared sauna, so you're getting both. Some people, like me, for example, will have a red light panel that'll stand in front of or behind during the first 20 minutes or so of work in the office. And the cool thing about that is it also simulates sunrise, or if I were to use that in the evening, sunset. So there is an effect not only on the body's battery, but also on how your eyes respond to light and the regulation of your circadian rhythm, so you get better sleep.
So you mean sunset, sunrise, depending on the type of light?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I don't know about you, but like there's some mornings where I'm not gonna get my ass up at 4:30 a.m. and hike to the top of a mountain and go watch a sunrise. And sometimes I'm having dinner with my family indoors when the sun is setting, but I can still go in my home and flip on red lights when the sun is rising, or flip them on when the sun is setting, and still get the benefits of the sleep regulation from red lights. So light would be two. The next two are very interesting. I mean, we've got this big body of water. Perhaps at some point you and I can have the pleasant experience of jumping into a cold bath. Fluctuations in temperature allow for the flow of electrolytes through the body and allow for the battery to stay more charged. This is why we see research out of Finland, for example, on decreased risk of Alzheimer's, decreased risk of diabetes, decreased all-cause risk of mortality, with death from any chronic disease, from a regular sauna habit, meaning getting your body hot and sweating on a regular basis. The same can be said as cold, or the same can be said of cold.
And combining them or separately?
Doesn't matter. I like to combine them because it feels really good to go jump in a cold bath after you've been in the sauna, and you're also a little less sweaty and stinky for your time with your friends afterwards. But the cold is something that's also very popular in the biohacking world, cryotherapy chambers and fancy cold pools. And yeah, you could achieve that in a primal setting, but if you live in the middle of London and don't necessarily have 50 feet from your front door some icy cold river or lake or ocean to jump into, The idea of using a cold shower or an ice bath or a cold therapy pool or walking down the street to some biohacking center that has a cryotherapy chamber allows you to get the cold that has a similar effect as the heat in terms of keeping that body's battery charged.
Have you ever been in the Russian banya?
I have been in the Russian banya. I've also spent a lot of time in Finland. And
The Russian banya is pretty amazing.
I love those experiences feeling. Where you're getting... What's the type of tree branch that they'll use to
birch? Some birches
to beat you, to whip you. There we go. We can take those into the sauna later on and get the best of both worlds. So heat and cold, in addition to earthing, or what you would also call grounding, and sunlight. And then the final two would be water and minerals, because that's also used to carry these charges throughout the body. We're all familiar from high school chemistry or whatever that minerals have a charge, right? Like calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium, etc. Well, if your body is depleted of electrolytes because you're eating most modern food grown in mineral depleted soil, or you're not using things like really good salts, like table salt's just sodium chloride, but there's really great salts out there, Celtic salt and Mexican salt and Florida sel and Kona black salt, and these salts have sometimes 70 plus different minerals in them that if you sprinkle on your food throughout the day will allow the battery of your body to stay charged. There are also companies like LMNT and Protect and Keenton and all these companies that, unlike Gatorade, aren't just sugar bombs full of electrolytes, but just salts that you open a packet of and you pour into a glass of water or into a cocktail or anything else that you might be drinking consuming.
So it's pretty good.
So and that's a really great way to keep the body charged up. But of course, water, like good, clean, pure, filtered water, water from springs, water that you're not drinking from plastic preferably, but from good natural glass bottles. Mm-hmm. That's how your body's gonna carry those minerals throughout your system. And so stepping back big picture, move, eat healthy, but also get grounding, get sunlight, get heat, get cold, get water, get minerals. And back to your question of what would be some of the major things that people should think about as they're getting started towards a journey of health optimization, that would be some of the low-hanging fruit that could be achieved through primal and ancestral methods, and that could also be achieved through modern biohacking technologies.
And on the salts, would you mix them all up or do one thing at a time, like the element T and the...
I have a fanny pack that I'll often wear when I go to restaurants, when I'm off traveling. The fanny pack always has little packets of electrolytes in it. You might see if we have dinner tonight, but I always have a little Ziploc bag full of a really great salt, and I do both. Almost all the water I drink, I'll pour electrolytes into. Almost all the food I'll eat, I sprinkle salt onto. It's a myth, and there's a great book about this by Dr. James DeNicolantonio called The Salt Fix that shows a lot of research that is indicating salt is not bad for your blood pressure unless it's the table salt that we're all used to, those little white crystals of sodium chloride. But good mineral-rich salts are actually fantastic for your blood pressure. My blood pressure is about 110 over 70.
Right.
My sodium's fine. My potassium is great. I don't have depleted magnesium levels like many people do. And I think a big, big part of that is because I pay attention to the body's battery through this electrolyte supplementation.
So how would you, if our listeners... viewers wanted to do this at home and maybe they don't have time to go to somewhere where it's got infrared sauna or have a or cryo, how would you recommend they could structure this? How many times a week do what and what's important every day?
Here's the beginner's version. Make friends with the cold side of the cold water tap in the shower and take a cold shower every day. Every time you take a shower, try to go cold for as long as possible or as much of the shower as possible. So the hot water might be on a morning where, I don't know, you're hungover or you're really cold because you've been out water skiing or something like that, but cold showers are fantastic. Those are simple. I don't know many people who can't walk into their shower and use the cold instead of the hot. Number two, be outside barefoot, touching trees, rocks, like we are right outside barefoot, if you can, for a minimum of 20 minutes a day. Just figure out a way, even if it's a business phone call or whatever, you're gonna take a quick afternoon nap and go outside on your back on the ground. It doesn't take long, but get outside on the ground, use any excuse you can to do so, take off your shoes. And as a matter of fact, if you live in a city where there's, I don't know, hypodermic needles and shards of glass or whatever, there are companies now that literally make shoes designed with copper plates in the bottom that keep your body grounded even when your feet are protected.
Right.
Like earth runners and plugs, and there's a few different companies that do this now. There's one at the Health Optimization Summit here in London. So those shoes are becoming more popular because mm-hmm. people are realizing, yeah, your feet need protection. You also don't want to look like a dirty hippie walking into a restaurant, but you're able to stay grounded even with shoes on now in many cases. Number three would be, if you can get outside in the sunlight, use every excuse that you can to do so. Even if it's on a cloudy day, you're still going to get adequate right. exposure to sun. Yeah, it's supposed to be 2 hours or more, but I mean, every little bit counts. So any excuse you can have to get out in the sun, do it. And some of this stuff stacks, right? Like I could be outside barefoot, walking in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. Maybe I live near a body of water, an ocean or lake, and I can jump out into that and get my cold while I'm walking. And yeah, I mean, there are ways to be creative with this and shortcut some of it.
Presumably the red light doesn't give you, doesn't stimulate vitamin D production. So you still need to go
outside. Still need UVA and UVB, or actually I have the gene that dictates, and many people have this and don't realize it because you can get your genes tested through your saliva. I have the gene that means that my body does not adequately convert sunlight into vitamin D. So I still supplement with vitamin D, and I also eat a lot of organ meats, which are rich in fat soluble vitamins, you know, like liver and kidney mm-hmm. and heart and some of this so-called, what do you call it here? Offal?
Offal.
Exactly. Yeah, offal. And so in addition to that, we talked about the earthing and grounding, the sunlight, the cold. If you go to the gym, maybe wear an extra layer of clothing. Maybe you don't have access to a sauna, but do things that allow your body to get hot. Maybe go for a drive on a hot day. I trained for Ironman Triathlon for 20 years, and for much of that, I was dirt poor. I couldn't afford a sauna. I would literally go for drives with the air conditioning off in my car, the heat turned up on a hot summer day, and just be sweating during the drive just to force the body to get hot. We live in very temperature-controlled, safe, comfortable, predictable environments. That's not that great, not only for cellular resilience and adaptivity to stress, but it's also not that great for the body and its battery and the blood flow and the temperature fluctuations that our ancestors would have experienced on a regular basis.
What's the three scourges of Western man? Too much eating, too much sleeping, and too much heat.
Too much eating, too much sleeping, and too much heat. I get that. And then the three reasons that most people do something wrong: power, money, and sex, right? So that's a discussion for another day. And then the last couple of things, very simple: water and minerals. You can find a spring near you and get spring water and go to the grocery store, and you know, buying good, clean, filtered water is not that expensive these days. Or you can be super crazy and get like a whole house water filtration system where everything is filtered through reverse osmosis or double carbon block filtration. And then you're adding salts and minerals to that water, salting your food throughout the day. That is not that expensive or unattainable for most people. And then of course, you know, exercise if you can, anywhere from 20 to 60 minutes a day. Eat a diet that's as recognizable as possible and as far removed from processing and ultra processing as possible. And you're gonna start to fire on all cylinders and feel like a human being is supposed to look and feel and perform.
I also asked Ben what motivates him, because it seems to me and to many others that a lot of people in the field are motivated by personal gain and hence the need and the drive to sell. And I was curious to find that in his case he is really motivated by doing good for humanity through leading an example of himself and serving God. And by God, he's a big believer.
Every morning, first thing I get out of bed, I drop to my knees and I pray to my Creator. I take care of my wife, and I take care of my kids, and I take care of my health, and everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, most people go in the reverse order. They wake up and they take care of their business first, because you got to make the money to take care of everything else, right? That's ass backwards. Here we go. One, two, because your business will eat you alive. It will always be there. You put the other priorities as a foundation, and everything you do in your business becomes a lot more meaningful. Seven. Eight. Most people treat themselves like a body with a soul. I treat myself like a soul with a body. You know what I'm saying?
That was a preview of Brave New World. You can hear the whole show and listen to previous episodes by searching Brave New World Evening Standard in your podcast provider or clicking the link in the show notes.